This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
We had a home birth back in 2016.
So we started a podcast about it.
And then grew it into a birth brand to help future and current parents believe in their success with home birth.
This is the place to hear home birth stories along with helpful resources and tips to feel empowered and supported in your birth journey.
This is Doing It at Home.
Welcome home, everyone. This is going to be the last time we record before baby Bivens is born.
Yes, it is.
We are done with interviews, so we've been complete with that for a minute, and now this will be the last update before birth, and then I'm sure we'll share the birth story at some point in time in the future. I'm slating it for the beginning of January as of right now. I'm thinking it'd be cool to have it be the first episode of 2023. I think that would be neat to have the birth story then. So until then, this is where we are right now, very, very pregnant and almost in that in-between stage, which we talked about a few years ago in 2016 when we were pregnant with Maya. We did an episode about that, so I'll put a link to that. But that in-between of the last days or weeks or whatnot of pregnancy before we get into birth. And so this is going to be our update. This is going to be where we wrap up essentially the conversation of this pregnancy.
How do you feel about that?
It's weird. On one hand, it's weird because we're about to go into the longest time frame of not recording for Doing It at Home in the history of the show.
Yeah.
That feels really strange. We're on the mic monthly doing interviews or solos or whatnot. So that feels really strange. And I don't think that has really sunk in yet until we're really, really unplugged and on leave. So,
and what Sarah means by that is we've recorded a lot of interviews prior to going on leave, because we plan on, you know, when I guess almost after this recording is pretty much leave starts, and then we will pick things back up in the new year. So to do that, we got a lot of interviews in the can that we'll be publishing while we are hanging out with the new baby.
Yes. So we're going to give some updates, kind of hit some high points of the last couple of months. Essentially what we've done here throughout this pregnancy, I see all the episodes that we've done related to BB2, Baby Joe, Baby Bivens 2. We obviously announced, we had an early first trimester conversation, and then basically a first trimester conversation, a second trimester update, and then this is pretty much the third trimester update. So that's kind of how it's flowed. And I have links to the previous episodes that we did on BB2 updates in the show notes for you if you want to go check those out and kind of do it in order, or if you just missed the last one or whatever, but they're there for you.
It's funny how you have an intention for something and then how things end up going.
And by that, do you mean doing a lot more updates and recording a lot more content around this pregnancy?
Yeah, we had intentions for doing more updates and talking about other things, but it just didn't go that way. And so at some point we had to kind of surrender that and be okay with doing less updates while we were doing a lot of other things as well. So it is interesting how you have an idea and then it can go left.
Here we are. Here we are. And it's beautiful. I'm okay with it. I'm really at peace with it because I think it's allowed for us to be very present with the pregnancy, with each other, with Maya, our family, working on the other things we've been working on our businesses, working on projects, getting things set up and doing the physical as well as the emotional and mental nesting. all that takes a lot of energy. And I just found throughout it to be worried about how every moment was going to be documented or how everything was going to be shared on a certain type of platform, and feeling a pressure, I guess, to do that because of who we are in the space that we've created. Letting that go has been incredibly healing and helpful. And I'm also trusting that there's not an expiration to sharing about this stuff. And I feel like a lot can come out in postpartum. We can continue to share more about the whole journey as time goes on. But it's just been really important for me personally to be as present as possible with this experience. And so that's just looked like being a little bit more inward with it, a little bit more reserved, a little bit more quiet. And I think that's relative to what this pregnancy in general has been for me and what it's brought for me in terms of lessons and opportunities. And I think it has been to slow down, to be softer, things like that. Whereas I feel like with Maya, I was a little bit more gritty and like go, 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 and working out more and running more and things like that. And it's just different. This one has just called me to look at different parts of myself. I feel like I'm still gasping for air as I'm talking, so I don't know how it's going to translate. Yeah, but
just comment on two things. I think it was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So 6 years ago, there was a different MO for things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in building mode for a lot of things, whereas this time around, it's not let's get certain things off the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of sustained flight of the different projects and businesses we have going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that all of that is why Maya's pregnancy went a certain way and birth went a certain way. And then this one is looking different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've been doing exactly what you needed for both.
Yeah.
You did exactly what you needed with Maya's pregnancy, and you're doing exactly what you needed in this pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing to comment on is, you know, in this room, we're sitting here and we have this big old giant whiteboard wall next to us, where we put our ideas and we just map stuff out, big mm-hmm. old wall of whiteboards. And I think we had just found out we were pregnant, and we invited two of our friends over because they have great business minds, very creative.
Brainstorming yeah. people, yes.
And we had an afternoon of just brainstorming, and we filled this wall full of things that we wanted to do around this pregnancy because mm-hmm. we were thinking, oh, we need to document this. We thought about having a documentary. We thought about, you know, podcast content, all this sort of stuff. And I am very happy that we ended up not pursuing any of it mm-hmm. because if we had, this pregnancy would have felt like a job.
Yeah.
Right. As opposed to just allowing the pregnancy to be. So, you know, it's just, I can see sort of like the remnants of those plans on
but it's
this,
a blank wall now.
It's just a blank wall. FYI, yeah, yeah.
The wall is blank.
I went and cleaned it off, but I can still see some of it.
Minus one message from Maya that says, "I love you, mom and dad." Which
yeah,
is awesome.
So but, you know, take away from that what you will, folks listening. You know, every pregnancy you might have an idea of how it's going to go, mm-hmm. or an idea of what you want to do with it, or how you want to be, and then things change. Yeah. And so I am happy that we allowed this pregnancy to kind of flow the way that it flowed.
Yeah, yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Okay, well, let's give a couple of updates here and just hit some high points of some experiences and things. And it's a little bit on the just personal, letting you in on what's been going on with us. But then there's also some themes and stuff that I think people, folks listening, can extract and utilize within your own process, within your own birth planning, if it's your first home birth, second, third, fourth, fifth, what have you. So we did a family baby moon. That was rocking. That was really awesome. And first pregnancy, we did a baby moon, just you and me, which was amazing. But I was totally open to the idea of doing a family trip, something like a little hoorah as a trio before we become a quad. And it was great. And we went to Disney World.
We did.
And oh gosh, how many weeks was I then? I was like 30. It was like
a month ago that we went.
Yeah. So maybe like 31-ish, 32. And I was unsure about how that would fare being that pregnant and waddling around Disney World. And it was great. And we had such an amazing time. And it was cut short, unfortunately, by Hurricane Ian. I'm from South Florida, so I'm very familiar with hurricanes. And so when the news was first kind of creeping up, I just thought, oh, it's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Everything's fine.
We'll get some ponchos and some waterproof shoes. And and then like when we arrived at the hotel, we realized, oh, everyone's leaving.
A lot of people were leaving. Yeah.
And we got 2 days in the parks and one day in the park got canceled. And so we ended up coming back home about 2 days early. Mm-hmm. But we did have a great time.
We had a great time and it was very magical and a lot of memories and fun present time. So I highly recommend a baby moon of some kind, no matter how many kids you have or what the circumstance. It could be a staycation kind of baby moon because, to your point, it got cut short. So we came home a day and a half early of when we were planning to, and we just made stuff to do at home and had fun, and we stayed unplugged, and we didn't, like, we let some people know we were coming home for kind of safety because we had some people wondering how we were doing and stuff with the weather, but it was, we're still not available, so don't call us or reach out to us or anything like that. So I think baby moons, family baby moons, however you want to do them, is a really great just kind of commemorative ritual thing to do. So
yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a meal that you do with with the full family and taking in those last weeks of being a family of however many before it expands. So I love the idea as well, and I'm happy that we made it happen.
Yeah. Another thing not related, or I guess a little bit related, because the week before we went to Disney, we had a midwife appointment and I had gotten some lab work back from blood work. And we got some results around I got a CBC panel. So that's all the things around your iron and your blood and how that's doing. And then specifically, we looked at ferritin levels. We've talked about ferritin on the show. We actually have a great episode with our friend, Dr. Matt Angove.
Yeah.
Talking all about that. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. That was really the first time I had learned about ferritin extensively was that conversation.
Me too. Ferritin and iron. And I had no idea that it played such an important role in like your energy, you know, your overall energy and clarity and all these different things.
Yeah. So there's that. We have that conversation however many months ago. I don't really think about its relevancy to me. And then here I am a week before we're going to Disney, get this lab work back. And my ferritin level is a 6.
Which is very low.
It's apparently basically non-existent. 6 is crazy low. Our midwife said that the lowest she's ever had is someone with 5. And so it made sense though, which was there's the information, right? And there's how you feel about it. It felt validating in the sense of how I had kind of been feeling leading up to then, just my energy levels and my overall stamina and whatnot. So we get this feedback and then we're about to go to Disney, where on average, when we go to Disney, we walk 8 to 10 miles a day in the parks, and it's Florida and it's hot and all the things. So
I think we were leaving about 10 days after
the appointment.
Yeah. After
where we're talking about this,
that feedback.
So it was a little bit of like, okay, troops, what's the game plan here? How do we shift this? Because this is coming up, obviously, but then also I want to feel better, probably the biggest impetus. But then also just the impact as far as any potential blood loss in labor, in birth, that a low ferritin level like that just isn't ideal for sure anyway. But then when it comes to blood loss, you want that ferritin and everything to just be as optimal as possible. So I got into proactive, kind of excited, nerdy student mode and was thinking, okay, what do we need to do? What are the things? And so that looked like a very diligent, very conscious effort of raising the ferritin. What did I do for that? Well, I took Blood Vitality. That's Dr. Ann Gove's supplement specifically for optimizing ferritin. So I took Blood Vitality. I'll include links to that in the show notes for everyone too. Took liver capsules, high quality liver capsules, eating more red meat, chlorophyll drops in my water a couple times a day. And then to support that, making sure I was getting enough protein, magnesium, lots and lots of magnesium. So I was getting magnesium from my needed hydration packets, as well as just scoops of magnesium glycinate in my water in the evenings, and then staying well hydrated to just support all of that. And long story short, tested in September right before this trip. It was a 6. Tested about a week ago, so the beginning of November, and it's now 19.
Going up.
So I'm very pleased with myself to have tripled the ferritin, and I would still like it to be higher. So I'm going to continue the efforts and continue the intention around raising that as much as possible. But that's just one element, one factor we certainly didn't have in last pregnancy or something. I got to learn a lot. I got to get more in touch with my body and how I'm caring for it and how I'm nourishing it. So it's been an interesting little lesson within it.
Yeah, I think observing you, one of the things that I noticed that I believe really helped was when you got that number, it didn't get this big emotional impact on you.
No, it didn't.
Okay, it's a 6. And what do we got to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for you, again, you mentioned you went into nerdy student mode.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, let's go back and listen to the episode with Dr. Matt. Let's get the supplement and do this and boom, boom, boom. And then from that moment on, you know, every morning I come out and I see all the supplements laid out. I see your little caps, your little cups of them, and all throughout the day. And then I even got involved with supporting you. Hey, do you need magnesium?
Yeah.
Do you have this? You know, buying you steaks. We purchased so many steaks. So many steaks. And just watched you get the number. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Let's address it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I experience you in other areas of life as well. And yeah, you're going to get a lot of different reports and different things throughout pregnancy with the tests and the pokes and prods.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to relate to it powerfully, and you know, in your case, really helped you to figure out what needed to be done and then get to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just information.
Yeah.
It's information. What you can do with it, you can use to feel empowered about it. So whatever your version of this ferritin thing is, someone who's listening, maybe you got a test result back, or maybe you're working on optimizing a thing with your health or however you're feeling in pregnancy, just that, you know, there are resources, there's support, there's the tools you're going to use, and then there's how you're talking to yourself throughout it as well, and how you're holding space for yourself and how you can not take it personally, and like you're not a bad person, mom, woman, whatever. Just it's a circumstance, and how do we want to move through it? So,
and it's okay to feel it, like you know what I mean. It's okay. My advice would be, if you're really going through it emotionally, you know, see if you can't have conversations with or connect with people who can hold that powerful space for you, and who can see that it's possible to make the shift that needs to happen,
or
raise the ferritin level. Like, no, you can do this. Like, you can do this, because that encouragement and that support is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. On that note of testing and information, I guess I can wrap up that little section of the only other two things we tested or have looked at since then in this third trimester is the gestational diabetes test. And so grateful to have never drunken that orange concoction that is the normal route, I suppose. I don't even call it normal route. Route some take when mostly in the hospital setting and with OBs and other care providers. But we had the option of testing at home with my own glucose monitor and eating a big meal and getting a baseline level of blood sugar before the meal, after the meal, all that great stuff. Negative. So that is what it is. So it was basically the same thing we did last time. And I'm grateful to have options for that are a bit more conducive, I feel like, particularly to our lifestyle. I've heard a number of examples of women who drink that drink, and it just jacks them up so much because it's such a shock to their system, because that's not how they're typically eating or drinking or living their life. So to really put you in this extreme state physically, I don't feel like that's going to give you a lot of great feedback. So anyway, just in terms of how they feel physically, but then sometimes the results are wonky and all that stuff. So I just feel like this route is much more in alignment. So we went ahead and took care of that. And then I went back and forth for a second on the GBS test. The
what does that stand for again?
Oh my gosh. I can't believe you're doing this to me in my pregnancy brain. Group B strep. That's what it is. So GBS, group B strep.
Group B strep.
And I didn't even remember if we did it last time with Maya, and we looked up in our records and midwife said, yeah, actually you did. And I said, okay, well, I guess there's that. If I did it last time, kind of why not? And I'm not going to get into all the intricacies around this specific topic. We've had a number of examples and conversations on the show about it that I can reference. And I'm certainly not an expert on it, but it's not even tested in parts of the world. Parts of the world, they don't even test for it.
When you said that to me, I thought, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
So and I'll tell you why I chose to do it in case someone is on the fence about it or not sure. There were pros and cons, of course. On one hand, I thought, what's this information going to do or change for me? I'm not going to do the antibiotics. So if I'm not going to do the antibiotics, kind of what's the point? But as I understand it from our midwife, there are holistic protocols and things that you can do if you are positive. Okay, so there was that, and I was considering that. And then also just the consideration of, in the event of any sort of transfer or things like that, that information would be helpful in a different setting. As I understood it from our midwife, she's like, I don't care. Whatever you want to do is fine. It really doesn't. We're not going to do anything different. We're going to be just as vigilant and mindful of you and holding space for you, whether it's positive or negative. Yeah. That all being said, it ultimately came down for me to, do I have an emotional attachment to this result one way or the other? And ultimately my answer was no. So then with that, it's not any extra hassle on our end to test for it. Did the swab and test when they came to our house for the home visit, and it's information and I can do with it what I will. So I went ahead and chose to do it, and the results were negative. So there is the results, and there's the wrap up of additional testing and information and data and things.
I think it's good to share what your thought process was going into each one of these tests, because one of the things that we wanted for this pregnancy is we wanted as few invasive, you know, tests or procedures or anything like that as possible. I mean, we did one ultrasound. Mm-hmm. We were in discussion about even doing the one.
Yeah.
So hearing your thought process through all of it is great, particularly for the people out there who are thinking about that too. Do I need to take this? Why should I take this? Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that you shared that.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some other cool stuff.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I want to talk about body work for a second and just the things I've done to support me physically in pregnancy, particularly in this third trimester. So on one note, I just want to say the midwife appointments have been amazing and really special and magical. And we've brought Maya to most of them.
Yeah.
And she's so awesome and has a great time. And it's so awesome having you there. You were at every single one for Maya, and now you've been at every single one for this baby. And I don't take that for granted, because I know that's not how the setup is for all families, whether that's work or life schedules, to have everyone there. So I just feel, I feel incredibly blessed. And that works for us. I like it that way.
It does work for us.
So that, and then continued with chiropractic care, which has been great. And I've gotten a lot of really great homework and stretching and things like that to support. I've been doing my squat sitting a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just sitting in the squat mode, and things around just staying limber and staying mobile and functional. And then something I did differently this pregnancy that I did not do last pregnancy is pelvic floor physical therapy. So I went for an evaluation last week, and to get a baseline essentially before giving birth, and then seeing what things look like on the healing recovery side of things about 6 weeks postpartum. And so I'm going to see how many more appointments I can get in before baby comes. I don't know, it might be one or two, but that was really educational and humbling. And I have so much more appreciation for the female anatomy and body and what we do and all the cooperation and components and parts that work together for a baby to come through. And so it's cool. And I didn't really know what to expect, but I'm really glad I did it, and I would recommend it. Again, kind of doing another comparison to other parts of the world, it's standard care in many other parts of the world.
Yeah.
To get physical therapy for a body that has pushed a baby out of it.
Yeah.
Any way you birth a baby, physical therapy, I believe, is necessary. And I just didn't know that last time or think about that. But I mean, you can sprain your wrist and get physical therapy for weeks. Literally, though, quite literally. And then here, you push a baby out of your vagina, check on you in 6 weeks. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, go run, go have sex, go do all the things. Bye. So I'm glad I'm doing that, and just paying attention to my pelvic floor and talking to it and encouraging all the muscles to just do what they need to do come birthing time, whether that's to do nothing and get out of the way and relax, or to activate and be strong and powerful. So I would recommend it. I would definitely recommend doing that for anyone who had not or was curious about it. Just have the consultation or have the conversation with someone about it. Reach out.
I learned a lot too. Just what the pelvic floor was.
Yeah.
And yeah, what it supports and how it moves.
Yeah.
I guess. Okay. During the end of pregnancy and birth. And there's so many things that I learned on this podcast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But you going and going to that physical therapy, like I'm looking at pictures of it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but you going to physical therapy, it kind of opened my mind to a lot of things as well.
So if you are curious what to expect, I'm sure this varies practitioner to practitioner. But for me, we did a little bit of conversation, and there were some models of the pelvic floor and some stuffed diagrams, if you will, of the parts to kind of get familiar. And then how my general range of motion was. I lied on a table and checked again the mobility and range of motion in my hips and my thighs and my legs. I've been having hip discomfort in my left hip. So we talked about that and looked at that for a bit and did some kind of fascial work there and massage. And then there was an internal exam, and that was just kind of my legs butterflied and very gentle finger insertion to kind of feel along the walls there for any tension. And for me in particular, the tension is more towards my opening versus deep in there. So finger was not far in and just lightly touching along the walls. I could feel tension that I would never have expected.
Yeah.
I could feel. And I was surprised, given I don't feel that in lovemaking or things like that, but it kind of makes sense when I shared that with her. I said, I'm kind of confused here why I'm feeling this so intensely when I don't feel this come up in sex or penetration. She said, well, when you think about it, a penis isn't isolating
and pushing
up. Yeah, on those specific areas. And it's not staying right there. It's going in and out. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, that actually does make a lot of sense when I think about it now. So that was the internal exam. And then again, some more conversation, a little bit of homework on how I can continue to work on that, release that tension, support the perineum, do some stretches and some foam rolling and things like that. So that's a little bit of what it's been like on my end. And I'm sure people's experiences are different, but if you were just, I have no idea what this could look like. Maybe if you go, it could look like any of the things I just shared.
Yeah.
Possibly. We had Halloween. I got to experience Halloween as a very pregnant woman.
Oh, and that was a lot of fun for hopefully for you, but it was a lot of fun for everybody who got to see you in your costume.
It was fun. So you were a werewolf, kind of a classic monster style werewolf. Maya was Mal from Descendants. And I'm sure there are some parents right now that are like, oh God, Descendants. Like, I know, I feel it too. Or I've had the songs in my head. Or
those soundtracks.
Yeah, they'll get you.
Reverberated through our home.
So that was Maya. And then I was Thor. Very specific version of Thor when he was sad and let himself go, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the out of shape Thor.
Yes, yes. So the Thor that skips leg day.
Oh, that's funny.
So I had my tank and my robe and I had a wig and some aviators. You made me a hammer.
Mjolnir.
You made that for me. I walked around with a can of soda and I was comfy, except for the wig. That wasn't the most comfy, and the little beard insert or add on there, but it was a lot of fun. And so I shared some pictures of it on social media and got some fun feedback around that too.
What was so hilarious is for the past 5 years or so, we've gone to a neighborhood where everyone, adults and kids, get very much into Halloween. It's kind of like one of those neighborhoods you see in a Halloween movie. Every house is decked out.
Yeah.
The parents and adults have even more elaborate costumes than kids. And it's just one of those giant Halloween neighborhoods. This year, we went to a different neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we thought it was going to be the same.
Right.
So your costume, when we rolled up at the little area where the kids were doing their costume parade, you were pretty much the only adult in a costume. And it was that costume. And so it got a lot of attention. And I thought that was so funny because, you know, we like to enjoy Halloween.
Yeah.
And so there were a few kids who were looking really confused. Is that a boy? Is that a girl?
Yeah, I got, are you a girl? Yeah. Yes, I'm a girl. I got, is that a fake belly? People thought my belly was fake, that it was a wearable or some sort of add-on thing or whatnot. Multiple people thought my belly was fake. So that was funny.
Yeah, you definitely gotta know our audience.
Yeah, that's fine. It's totally cool. We have had two baby showers, which have been really magical. I just wanted to comment on that for different groups. So one was very intimate with some family, and that was awesome. And then, well, it's all family. One's blood family, and then the other life family. And what I just want to say about that is how grateful I am and how much abundance and support that we've had around us, the gratitude that I have for that in the form of check-ins, how are yous, space holding, putting on these showers, physical items through our registry, monetary support through our fund registry, which we've done. We've done a registry through Be Her Village where you can select different categories for your care. So for the midwifery care and the fees that go to that, pelvic floor PT,
baby moon,
photographer, maternity leave, yeah. Hashtag entrepreneurship life. So that's been, it's just all been really beautiful. And so I could not comment on our pregnancy as a whole, preconception too. And then particularly now as we're really preparing and kind of creating the space that we are so loved and so well supported.
We are.
So a lot to give thanks for there. And it could really be any day now. It really could.
We had one of the things that they did at the second shower was everybody predicted five things. Predicted boy or girl, predicted date.
Yes.
Time.
Yes.
Weight and length.
Yes.
And a couple of things were interesting. One was that with the exception of one person, everyone guessed boy.
Yeah.
And that was pretty interesting. Everybody there said boy, boy, boy. One guy said girl. And then in terms of the dates, I think somebody said this week, like now, today
yeah,
or tomorrow or something. Yeah. And then it was just kind of sprinkled throughout the rest of the month. So it's always fun seeing what people guess.
Yeah.
I always do enjoy that. And you and I didn't guess.
No.
We're not putting our...
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, we're not putting our name to any of those things. We're just going to flow.
Yeah, definitely. And we're pretty much ready. And we've got our intentions. And we've shared a little bit about that on the show, how we wanted a little quieter, more intimate and such. And then the exact details will come when the birth actually unfolds, and we'll share that. But one thing I just want to comment on is Maya... And just a update there, or a refresh there, in terms of having her there. And it's our full intention to have her in the house for the duration of the birth, so long as that resonates with her. We've had really great conversations with her. We've had some role play kind of scenarios and talked about how the experience could unfold, how I could sound, how I could look. We've had great conversations with our midwives about it. And we have things in place where... there's like these layers of communication that could potentially happen based on, it's kind of a if this, then that sort of setup. And we've talked that out with everyone who needs to be aware of that and who it's relevant for. And I feel like all that is really well put in place and set. And I feel really great and comfortable about that. So I feel in a space where all is going to be well with Maya, and that she is well taken care of, and that we've communicated well with her, and that she feels a safe space to communicate whatever comes up for her. If someone's needed there at a certain specific time to be there to hold space for her or support her or take her outside of the house or whatever, that's going to be taken care of, and that's great. And I even feel great about if midwives are in the car while baby's crowning. I just feel peace around all of those scenarios and possibilities, and the A, the B, the C. I'm really at peace with all of that, and that's a really great feeling.
Yeah, we've done some great prep as it relates to Maya being present and participating.
So I just wanted to comment on that, that it, for those who were wondering, or maybe you missed it in a previous detail or episode, that we are planning on having Maya there. Maya plans on having Maya there.
Oh, she's
this is something
adamant.
We've very much kept the communication open about her full autonomy in this process and consent to what she wants to do. And
what did she say to you this morning before going to school about?
Oh, she said, what if the baby starts coming and I'm at school? I said, we'll get you. Don't worry. Like, we will put the things in place. Someone will come get you. So things like that, that we didn't have to factor in last time. It's really fascinating and kind of cool and different. And It's a little like nervous, exciting feeling about it, just because it is a different experience this time. But she might not be home. She might be at school, or it could be the middle of the night. It could be middle of the day. We don't know. So based on that, like I said, we have these kind of these thresholds and these things of if this happens, then that. So we've got like one person at the top of our phone tree. They might be alerted at any period in time with any variation of message, whether it's a heads up, get your ducks in a row, or it's on, come over, or there's a baby here, come when you want. so it could be any of those things. And like I said, somewhere in between there could be, this isn't a full troop alert. We don't even need the birth team here yet, but Maya needs some support because I want you with me, Matthew. I want Matthew with me and whatever. So there's that. And then the rest is surrendered up. I surrender up a lot to faith and to providence and to what will be, and baby's plan too, and keep our communication high. And so here we are. Here we are.
It's exciting. It's fun to be recording this final update.
Yes.
Knowing that the next time we'll be on the mic, there'll be a baby hanging out somewhere in the
chest,
room with us.
Somewhere. Yeah. So I hope you all have enjoyed this. I hope you all have enjoyed following along with us in this pregnancy. And for those who have followed before the pregnancy, going back 2 years to when we first talked about being open to conceive, and now here we are getting ready to welcome this baby. It's really, there really aren't words for it. So I hope y'all have been able to get something out of this as well. And we look forward to sharing the birth story with you. We look forward to continuing to share other birth stories with you while we are on leave and when we come back in 2023, and who knows what will be next for doing it at home, and what we'll do and what we'll create and what ideas you all will give us. It's really, really exciting times.
Yeah, we're excited about all of it.
So thank you all. We will catch you
on the flip
next
side.
Next time when we have a baby.
Peace.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.